From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. What a mass of hideous sickness must have thrust itself under the eye of Jesus! Yet we read not that he was disgusted, but patiently waited on every case. What a singular variety of evils must have met at his feet! What sickening ulcers and putrefying sores! Yet he was ready for every new shape of the monster evil, and was victor over it in every form. Let the arrow fly from what quarter it might, he quenched its fiery power. The heat of fever or the cold of dropsy, the lethargy of palsy or the rage of madness, the filth of leprosy or the darkness of ophthalmia, all knew the power of his word and fled at his command. In every corner of the field he was triumphant over evil, and received the homage of delivered captives. He came, he saw, he conquered everywhere. It is even so this morning. Whatever my own case may be, the beloved physician can heal me. And whatever may be the state of others whom I may remember at this moment in prayer, I may have hope in Jesus that he will be able to heal them of their sins. My child, my friend, my dearest one, I can have hope for each, for all, when I remember the healing power of my Lord. And on my own account, however severe my struggle with sins and infirmities, I may yet be of good cheer. He who on earth walked the hospitals still dispenses his grace and works wonders among the sons of men. Let me go to him at once in right earnest. Let me praise him this morning as I remember how he wrought his spiritual cures, which bring him most renown. It was by taking upon himself our sicknesses. By his stripes we are healed. The church on earth is full of souls healed by our beloved physician, and the inhabitants of heaven itself confess that he healed them all. Come then, my soul, publish abroad the virtue of his grace, and let it be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign which shall not be cut off.
As Christians contemplate the sad moral and spiritual state of the world around them, many would tend to despair of any hope for the nation. Certainly, the answer is not to be found in governmental policies or social programs. The solution is a spiritual revival. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. Pastor Armin Tomassian, senior minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, preached a series of messages published in a book entitled Breath from Heaven. In the course of 10 sermons, he shows how revival shaped our past and should change our present. Some of the titles include The Prototype of Revival, The Promise of Revival, and The Prayer of Revival. Let the Bible Speak offers copies of Breath from Heaven free of charge to those who sincerely desire revival in our day. Simply email the church office at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org or phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Request your free copy of Breath from Heaven by Armin Tomassian. As Dr. Cairns continues this series in the life and earthly ministry of Christ, he has been pursuing the theme of Christ as the friend of sinners. In the last message, he presented the Lord Jesus as the weeping Christ. Today, he begins to focus on Jesus as the welcoming Christ, revealed through three parables in Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. The chapter opens with publicans and sinners drawing near to Christ, while the Pharisees and scribes sneered and mocked, saying in their self-righteousness, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Yet it was those hypocritical religious leaders who received Christ's condemnation, while those who felt their sin experienced his mercy. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, The Welcoming Christ.
We're turning this morning to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. It's a very familiar chapter, and yet it never loses its charm. We're going to read it together. We come to the third of the three parables here. The great English novelist Charles Dickens, one of the most skillful users of the English language you can ever read, termed this the greatest short story ever told. And I think that is to put it mildly. So let's read together in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. The first and the last verses of Luke chapter 15 are directly parallel. The first verse says that the publicans and sinners drew near to Christ. The last verse says, This thy brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. The first verse makes a plain statement of historical fact. The publicans and the sinners drew near to Christ. The last verse makes the same statement, only this time in the picturesque terms of a parable. The meaning in the message of Luke chapter 15 can be easily summarized. All the publicans and sinners, you've got to understand that speaking of all the publicans and sinners of that particular area at that particular time, all the publicans and sinners of that area were drawing near to hear Christ. The use of the imperfect tense is important. It wasn't just on one occasion a number came. This was happening time after time in that area. All the publicans and sinners were drawing near to hear Christ. Christ gladly welcomed them. The Pharisees and the scribes were scandalized, and so they started to sneer. The Lord Jesus took their criticisms as a badge of honor, and he told three compact stories to illustrate both his feelings toward sinners and his purposes for them. And he lets us into a secret that both God and the angels of heaven are altogether of his mind, thankfully not of the mind of the scribes and the Pharisees, in that they rejoice at a sinner's repentance. Now the heart of this chapter and the key to interpreting it is Christ's willingness to save and to receive sinners. This is the point of each of the three parables, the willingness of Christ to receive sinners. Each of these parables, therefore, is a story to illustrate this single point. Now, it's debatable if the parables have any other points in them. It's quite possible, especially in the third, that the Lord Jesus intended us to see a parable of Jews and Gentiles. That's not our purpose to get into that this morning. The main point in every parable is the love of Christ for sinners. Now that means that there's a lot of fanciful interpretation that goes on when you come to Luke 15. Many commentators have tried to see here the work of the Holy Trinity in saving sinners. They find that in the first parable of the lost sheep, that speaks of the Son. The woman in the second parable, they tell us, is the emblem of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the Father in the third parable is the type of God the Father. Well, let me make it clear that these parables are not intended to typify the working of the Trinity in salvation. The woman in the second parable is not, and I emphasize not, a type of the Holy Spirit. She is a picture of Christ seeking and loving to receive the lost. And this is harder to grasp. The Father in the third parable is not speaking of God the Father at all. Remember, this is just a story. And the story is to illustrate not some characteristic of God the Father. It is given to illustrate the fact that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, loves sinners and receives sinners. Something else that may be hard to grasp. The flock that Jesus speaks of in the first parable, the 99 left in the wilderness and going after that which is lost, is not intended to be a picture of Christ's flock on the earth. I mean, it makes no sense. And that so many preachers try to take it that way. But it makes no sense. For example, this lost sheep had once been in the flock. Now he's lost and perishing. The shepherd goes after him. I want to tell you, there are no sheep get lost out of Christ's flock. Second, the 99 left in the wilderness, Jesus says the meaning of that is that there are 99 just persons that need no repentance. Now, who in Christ's flock could ever say, we need no repentance? This is a story. And the story is saying that there are people whom Christ leaves. Who are they? They're the people who think that they need no repentance. That's their own testimony. I don't need to repent. And so he leaves them. That's a terrible, terrible statement. An awful statement. To be left by Christ, because in arrogance and pride, you think you are just, upright, good enough, and don't need any repentance. That's a terrible way to be. But for the one who's gone wandering, there's no doubt recognizing that he's a sinner, the Lord Jesus will go after him. Now, this then is what the 15th chapter of Luke is all about. We're going to continue to think of what we've been doing for these last Sabbath mornings, remembering that Luke 13, 14, and 15 are chapters that emphasize Christ as the friend of sinners. We've seen the friend of sinners as the warning Christ. I give you about seven strands of truth, seven great warnings that the Lord Jesus issued as the friend of sinners. Then, last time, we looked at Him weeping over Jerusalem, and we thought of the friend of sinners as the weeping Christ. Well, now we come to this famous chapter, and we see the friend of sinners as the welcoming Christ. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And in giving the parables of this chapter, the Lord Jesus shows us what is in His heart. He shows us what He thinks of sinners, how He thinks of sinners, especially how He thinks of sinners who come to Him. The first thing He shows us is this, that He passionately loves sinners of every kind. Now that's something that could appear trite. We talk about the love of Christ, people talk about it, God's love, and they talk about it in such sickly, sentimental terms that are so totally divorced from Scripture that they make God Almighty to be a glorified Santa Claus sitting remote on the throne of heaven and drooling in his beard, wishing good to everybody, but particularly not able to do much for anybody. That's not the love of Christ. The love of Christ is not some sickly sentimentality of a bleeding heart that refuses to recognize the full vileness of fallen man or is incapable of doing anything about that vileness. When you read this chapter, you discover that Christ is dealing with real sinners. These publicans and sinners, these tax gatherers, as the publicans indicate, tax gatherers, people who had betrayed their own country. The nearest thing you could get to it today would be if if the Nazis had managed to occupy the United Kingdom, as, for example, they did Norway, that Churchill would have become a Quisling and gone into the pay of Hitler. That's what these people did. They betrayed their own country. They were hated by their own people. They were blood-sucking, greedy men who enriched themselves by impoverishing their fellow countrymen. Publicans, tax gatherers.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.